This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives. For this podcast, we visit St. Stephen's Walbrook, and I talk to Fiona Lucas, who's a church watcher for the Friends of City Churches, and Tony Tucker, who is a friend of this podcast series, and the writer of A Visitor's Guide to the City of London Churches.
So we are in St. Stephen Walbrook.
And do you know anything about St. Stephen?
So he is an early Christian martyr, a sort of proto-martyr from very early church, about 39-ish.
Yeah.
And I think he was stoned. So he sometimes shows up in pictures carrying stones to death. Yes. And it seems like he has quite a lot of churches in France dedicated to him, and I read that there are 53 in Britain.
This is the only one in the city.
I think so. Is it the only one in the city?
Yeah, me too.
At Boxing Day is his feast day.
Okay. What about the Walbrook bit?
The Walbrook is the stream that used to run just outside the church. So we are sitting right in the middle of the city here, and we're in between the two hills that the Romans built on the high ground for the City of London. We know it was definitely here by 1090, but there's a bit of debate. So that one book said it was Norman. The other book I read said Saxon, and from about 100 years earlier. And the church actually has swapped sides. So it used to be on the western side of the Walbrook stream, and when they rebuilt in the 1400s, they moved across to this eastern bank. But we are effectively sitting on the banks of the Walbrook stream, which has now disappeared underground, so it's in the drainage system under the road. It still comes out into the Thames as a little trickle, but
yeah,
it's effectively gone.
The current church that we're sitting in now, how old is that?
So this is after the Great Fire, so which was 1666, so this is a Christopher Wren church, and seemingly was started in 1672 and took about 5 years to build. And some of the architectural critics, there was one got very excited about the fact that it was the only city church that was started in 1672. So some other years they started doing 10 or 5 or whatever else, and this one year there was only one, and it was this. And it's some people suggest that Christopher Wren lived just down the road on Walbrook, on the same street. So it could be his local church, all of which possibly adds up to the sort of uniqueness and the very distinctive shape and the style of the church.
I think since this new Bloomberg development has opened up, it has provided a big open space in front of the church, which has given us a lovely view of it, which perhaps we didn't really have before.
To me, St. Stephen Walbrook, he rendered his greatest achievement. Even the sniffy Pevsner says it is one of the 10 most important buildings in England. It has been described as having, quote, the most perfectly proportioned interior in the world. Now, that's some real claim, isn't it? You know, it's the sort of thing the Sun newspaper or Donald Trump might say. But to say that in all seriousness shows you just how good this interior is. People come from around the world to see it. People in London, including myself when I worked in the city, walk past it every day, and they probably, most of them, have never been in it. And there they are, right next to them, one of the finest pieces of classical architecture you'll ever see.
Well, as we're stood here, it's lunchtime, there are hundreds of city workers walking past and nobody's gone in. So that illustrates your point.
It's got a fine, I mean, the exterior is nothing special. Kentish red stone walls, bit of Portland stone facing on the top. You can see a green dome at the back there. It is, however, significant. It's the first dome we ever had in England. We've never had domes before Wren. He'd only ever seen two domes when he went to Paris. He got books on Rome. He'd seen the Pantheon and Michelangelo's dome on St. Peter's and various Borromini domes, but only in books. This is the first dome we ever had in England. It's got an interesting steeple, another of Wren's varied steeples of skyline. As I said, no two are the same. This one's like a little Roman temple set back behind the balcony, which is a sort of balustrade. And it's got three little square sections, I suppose, each with columns, three classical columns on each corner.
What has happened in the last 3 or 4 years is the Bloomberg building has been built next door, which is a huge office block. They dug incredibly big hole in the ground, and then they put in the biggest, heaviest stone building in the city since St Paul. And before they started doing any of that, they sent some people in to St Stephen's to install some things to measure the cracks. You can still see, if you look from outside, you can see that the tower is not vertical.
Yeah.
So now that the building is finished over there, they're sort of waiting for it to settle before they do anything to, you know, make good. It looks as if the tower is now settling back to straighter again, but the verger told me that at one point it was 11 inches out. And he said in the crypt as well there's cracks that you can put your hand through. And now, having built a hole, the tower kind of leaned over towards it, and now that they filled it in, maybe it's settling back again or not. But there are still monitors in the corner. When you come in the door and turn to the right, there's still, you can see sort of electrical things that are measuring the cracks.
It's nothing on the outside of the church, but when we go inside, it has the wow factor. I've never known anybody step inside this church for the first time and not go, wow. It is simply the most beautiful piece of architecture you can imagine.
It is. Its interior is spectacular. We'll go in a minute, but while we're outside, you're right. It doesn't have the most impressive exterior. It clearly had buildings. Must have been surrounded by buildings because none of the outside
Starbucks. Starbucks on
and
the
they've
side.
Added an, they've added a modern Starbucks, which is extraordinary because that is a modern building they've attached to the church. Which, fair enough in many ways. Maybe they were coffee shops up against it back in the day.
On the side wall there, it's all old and rough, and you can see where there were buildings up against it and where it's, you know, Wren's taken no particular interest in that wall.
Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, let's go in.
Go in.
You have, even though I've been in many times before, you've sold it to me yet again, and I'm keen to get in and and hear what you have to
it's
say.
It's just perfection.
So, when you come in, you come in through a sort of outer door and then immediately up some steps, which is partly due to it being on the banks of the Walbrook, so you were coming up the bank of the from the stream. And then you come into a little lobby area, and there's big, dark wooden doors in front of you, and you've already left the street slightly behind you and sort of had a slight process, and then you walk into this extraordinary light, white, big dome dominating the space.
The proportions are so beautiful. It's full of light, as he intended. Even today, we've got the plain glass windows back, all different shapes, round-headed, square with a round top, oval, circular, half-moon-shaped, every shape, all flooding the church with light, showing you the craftsmanship of the guys that built these Corinthian columns, the wood carvings by William Newman, the reredos, the communion rails, the ogee-domed tester or sounding board above the pulpit, the wooden cover to the font, all by William Newman, the font by the great Thomas Strong, one of Wren's master masons. That's still looking as good today as it did in 1672 to 78. You've got a circular dome supported on 8 perfect semicircular arches, themselves supported on triangular segments of with 3 classical columns in each corner. Below the dome is a square centre to the church, and then Wren's added a couple of extra columns in the west to make a slight oblong, a slight nave. So you've got all the geometric shapes in here. It's basically a centrally planned church. You've got a dome above a square, basically. And the craftsmanship, I mean, the plaster carvings in the dome, the carvings around the frieze and the entablature, under all the arches, every arch has got fruit and flowers carved underneath. Everywhere you look, there's craftsmanship in this church.
There's a lot of windows up near the top, so you get, on a sunny day, a lot of light coming in at high level.
Yeah.
The walls are very dark wood panelled, so there's a huge pulpit with an enormous sounding board, a dark wood reredos at one end, and the organ opposite it, so both quite dark wood. on a sunny day, you do get beams of light that come from the individual windows. And what is so lovely about church watching is that you stay here for 4 hours, and during the course of that time, these beams of light move around the church and they kind of spotlight different bits of the church at different times. And it's just so lovely, and it makes you see things that you wouldn't see. What you have nowadays is a layout where in the middle, underneath the centre of the dome, there is a circular altar, which is a piece of travertine marble designed by Henry Moore, sculpted by Henry Moore.
A modern addition.
Yes, absolutely. And then circular pews kind of coming around the altar in quite pale wood.
They look like children's primary school.
Yeah, in benches. Benches of
Far be it from me to criticise or lay aspersions, but the man who designed them was Andrew Vara. He had the same surname as Chad Vara, the famous rector in here, who founded the Samaritans in this church in the vestry in 1953. Yeah. And it was Vara's, I think, son, Andrew Vara, who designed the pews. Of course, the one controversial thing is the altar in the centre of the church, the round altar. In its own right, very fine piece of work. It's an irregularly carved, different shapes all the way around it to reflect the light. Still controversial today because, of course, it's at odds with Wren's original design. He would have had the altar in front of the reredos in the east end with box pews facing down towards it, and you could walk under the dome down the centre of the church. Today, this obstructs the centre of the church and you have circular pews all around it. But having said that, the church liked it. It does sit very well under the dome. It was brought in by Lord Palumbo, who paid for the restoration of the church in the 1980s when the floor was subsiding into what's left of the River Walbrook. And he very generously, he was a church warden, he paid for the restoration, but insisted on this change of plan for the altar. It was resisted at the time, it was highly controversial, it had to go through every court in the land before it got approved. It's still controversial today. As I say, in its own right, fine piece of work, sits nicely under the dome, but to a Wren traditionalist like myself, I would personally sooner have the traditional layout as planned by our country's greatest architect.
It, you know, has changed the sort of focus of the church and the feel of the church, which some people really like and some people were against
in
the early days.
What do you think about it?
I like the fact that it references the dome. It makes sense of the space. I mean, I'm not a churchgoer, but it doesn't seem terribly practical. I don't quite understand how it works in services. The interesting thing, I think, about this space is that... So at the same time Wren was designing this, he was always thinking about the rebuilding of St Paul's. And we know that at St Paul's he wanted a great big dome, and then the authorities said no, and then various different designs later we came up with the one we've got. And it was a mixture of... His original design was described as being too Catholic and too Greek, and it was a square cross with a big dome. And what he did was to sort of stretch the nave to make it more Anglican and things. And inside this rectangular space here, he kind of uses the columns to create a nave, and people often say this is a trial run for the dome of St Paul's, which it is a quite different structure because it's not stone like St Paul's dome or brick in places, but it is balanced on columns. People who haven't come in here before, you know, if you walk in, most people do kind of just stop in their tracks and go, whoa.
Are there any interesting people associated with this church?
We do have a memorial to Vanbrugh, the architect.
Okay. What do we know why?
He's buried here.
He's buried here?
Yeah. He famously has the epitaph, which is something like, earth lie heavy on thee, who placed such heavy loads on thee. So Vanbrugh built these enormous heavy buildings.
Yeah.
And so now he's got the earth kind of pressing him down. Yes. In much more recent times, the previous vicar here retired at the age of 92, so he had a good long time here. And he's just been given a blue plaque outside the church. His name was Chad Vara, and he founded the Samaritans. So in the crypt downstairs, became the London branch of the Samaritans. Which is why there's a telephone box, a telephone in a glass box on display in the church, because it's the original Samaritan's
telephone. And that's
telephone.
The one by the organ, near the organ to the left, as you're looking at the organ.
Yeah.
So despite having visited this church many times, I hadn't realised that Vanbrugh was buried here. And for those desperate to know the exact epitaph given to him, I looked it up. And it is this. "Under this stone, reader, survey, dead Sir John Vanbrugh's house of clay. Lie heavy on him, earth, for he laid many heavy loads on thee." And that was written by a man called Dr. Abel Evans of Cheam in Surrey, in a newspaper. So it was never actually carved in stone and placed in the church. So you won't see it written inside St. Stephen's Walbrook. And I was thinking about Vanbrugh being buried in a Wren church. I mean, they were contemporaries, although much younger. Vanbrugh and Wren were building spectacular Baroque buildings at the same time, Vanbrugh being known for Blenheim Palace, for example. And it seemed quite reverential that he is buried in a Wren church, but I can't find any reference as to why he's interred here. So if anybody knows, please tell me. Anyway, having heard about the church's history and architecture and associations, I wanted to understand a little bit more about its spiritual and present life. So I talked to Tom and Elizabeth, the community choir director and a choir member respectively, but my interviews took place before the pandemic. So the choir stopped during that time, but the vicar of the church, Stephen, let me know recently, that's September 2021, that it should resume in October 2021. But watch this space. Anyway, I still think it's worth including this in the podcast because obviously there's more to the church than its walls.
So my name's Tom Shorter and I direct the Walbrook Community Choir.
Who are the Walbrook Community Choir?
They are anyone who wants to come at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday, which is largely local office workers in the city and a few sort of loyal people who travel much further from, you know, east and west side of London.
And what inspired you to start it in the first place?
Well, it was a suggestion that came via Stephen, priest in charge, to bring people into the church, to give them a bit of space for reflection in their lunch hour. And because we have music every lunchtime in the church of one kind or another, whether it's recitals or Eucharists, it's not just those that are participating, but obviously passing visitors and tourists often sit and listen to us and hear us.
Can anybody join?
Yes, it's open to anyone and everyone. Yeah, we don't audition. You've just got to come with an enthusiastic mindset and be prepared to give things a go, and then you're in.
I'm Elizabeth Mirage, and I'm the parish administrator and the office manager here at St. Stephen Walbrook.
And you do other things here, like
sing in the community choir. I'm a soprano. I always thought I was an alto, but apparently not.
What do you enjoy about being part of this choir?
Oh, I love it. I love it. It's really relaxed. It's informal. We've got really patient tutors, if you like, and they understand that not all of us can read music. None of us are trained singers, but we all have a love for music and singing. In the choir, in the community choir, we've got so many different types of people. We've got bankers, we've got secretaries, we've got insurance brokers, we've got tourists who just decide to pop in and join in because they're here for a few days or something. We've got ladies who are retired and men who are retired, so there's a whole spectrum of people.
And what kind of music do you sing?
For example, today we're singing some hymns, which we don't do routinely, but because it's a service, we're going to sing some hymns and a psalm, and some tese, which is reflective chant sung repetitively. But we've also sung pop songs, obviously Christmas carols at Christmas time. So it's a full range of repertoire, really.
How would you describe the spirit of this place?
That's an interesting question.
Beyond the choir.
But it's like a TARDIS, because from the outside it looks very innocuous, doesn't it? It doesn't look, there's another building, then you walk up the stairs and suddenly all of this magnificence is in front of you.
And then the music begins.
Absolutely.